Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. We just invite your presence to come. We invite your Holy Spirit to come and speak to us of your truth, God. And I pray that you will help us to just connect with you and to be in your presence, God, this morning. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we have been going through the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1, we have Paul just greeting the church of Ephesus, and then letting them know of the amazing things that God has done, beginning with this long paragraph of praising the Lord, praising God for all that he has done. And then he talks of the stuff that he's praying for the Ephesian church. And then here, he kind of explains, I guess, one more time what God has done. But as we will see later on, his main focus is basically kind of the plan of God's salvation to bring the Gentiles along with the Jews in saving them, in reconciling them and making them one people. So we'll see later on in chapter 2 more of Paul talking about kind of God's amazing plan of bringing the non-Jews as well as the Jews and combining them into one people and reconciling both of them to God. But I think what we can just keep in mind or look out for is in this passage is when Paul uses the word you, he's talking to the Ephesian church, and he's really talking about Gentiles. He's talking to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. So when he says, as for you, non-Jews, you Gentiles, you are dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you follow the ways of this world. And then when in verse 3 he uses the word we, all of us also, he's talking about the Jews. Right? He's talking about Jewish believers now, so it's including himself. Jews also used to live among them at one time, gratifying the desires of their sinful flesh. So he's saying, you and I both, we are the same, Gentiles and Jews. Because he begins with, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. But in verse 3, he will say, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh. So he's saying it's not just the Gentiles that were separate from God. Even the Jews who had this special revelation of who God was, we also walked in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And then he says, we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Even as the rest of the world that did, you know, the Jews, they were supposed to have this special relationship with God, but even them, just like the rest, were children of wrath. And then in verse 4, he talks about this amazing thing that God has done. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's just the gospel. You know, I think as Christians, we often would say, you know, we used to be dead in our sins before, but now we have been made alive in Christ Jesus. And this is just a great summary, right? You can always, I think you can turn to this passage. You know, if anybody's ever questioning, like, how do you know? Like, what do you mean that, you know, we were sinful, that we were dead, spiritually dead before? And what do you mean? You know, how do you know that in through Jesus Christ we've been made alive? You can turn to this passage, right? Because sometimes I think as Christians we grow up in the church and we believe a lot of things and we say a lot of things about our faith and the doctrine of salvation and justification and all that, but we don't always have scriptural backup. You know, we just think, oh, that's kind of what I learned in church. Well, here's a passage you can turn to that clearly talks about our life before Christ, how we were dead in our transgressions and sins. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, just a really beneficial passage, I think, for us as Christians. When we're talking to non-Christians or just talking about the doctrine of justification and salvation, what God has done, we can turn to this passage to know what has happened in our soul. So I just want to point out two simple things just from this passage, just to draw out some lessons for us. Number one, this whole passage from verse 1 to verse 10, it really illustrates our need for a Savior, right? It really illustrates the gospel, the simple gospel, which is we are utterly, hopelessly sinful. Right, we are dead in our transgressions. We are hopelessly sinful, and without God, we have no hope, no hope. But God loves us anyway, and he has provided a way for us to receive his forgiveness and his life. And in turn, we owe him our everything because of that. So we were completely hopeless and sinful, utterly just headed toward destruction, dead in our transgressions, but God loved us anyway in that place, and he gave us a way to receive his life, receive his forgiveness. And so we've received it, and because of that, we owe God our everything. We owe God our everything. N.T. Wright, who is a theologian, he's written a few books, very smart guy, and I've been reading a simple commentary by him on the book of Ephesians, and he points out this. He says, often today, people don't believe that there is much wrong with the human race. And I think this is true. Often today, people don't believe that there is much wrong with the human race and with themselves in particular, right? People don't believe that there's anything wrong with the human race and with themselves in particular. As a result, they don't see very much need for God's grace. Perhaps they think, God might help me out in a tight corner here or there, but basically I can get along fine without him. All that God has to offer, it seems, is a kind of spiritual enhancement of ordinary life, a gentle enrichment of what's already there rather than a radical rescue from imminent disaster. Let's think about that. I think it's true. Many people, including us Christians today, we think, we don't realize the utter hopeless situation that we were in. And we think all we need from God is just some help along the way to become better people. You know, we need a gentle reminder of what's already inside. Deep inside, we are all good. And we all have this beautiful thing inside. And we just need God to draw that out of us. We just need his help a little bit to become better people, to live better lives, and to be happier and to be more at peace. And we don't see that we are completely in need of a Savior. We're completely dead. And that's why many people, when they think about God, they're not filled with utter gratefulness at what God has done. They just think, oh, God's, yeah, it's good. God's good. And he's helping me along, you know. I'm grateful that he's with me and he gives me peace and he fills me with joy and he helps me become a better person. But we don't see the situation as it really is, that we were dead in transgressions and we need a Savior. Instead, we think we're doing okay. Really, we're okay, but we fail here and there. And we need some help along the way. And we need God to remind us of what's already the good that is inside. And if you can draw that out of me, then I can be a better person. And so when we think about God, we're not filled with this utter gratitude, utter humility of understanding, God, you've done everything for me, that I was completely hopeless and you gave me everything that I have. Instead, we think, come on, God, I mean, I'm doing well, right? I mean, yeah, you're helping me and I'm doing okay. I deserve your blessing. And we just get kind of this, we're not filled with utter humility. We're filled with kind of this sense of entitlement, like, yeah, you're helping me along and I'm doing pretty well. I think I deserve your favor. I think I deserve your blessing, right? I mean, I'm working hard. I'm trying to be a nice person and you're helping me and that's good. And it's just not right. Our heart is not moved. I think our heart will not be moved unless we understand that we are completely, utterly, like, dead in transgressions and that we needed a Savior. If we carry this idea of we're actually okay, we just need God to help us along here and there, then we don't get the fullness, this... you guys know what I'm saying. Yeah, and I think the world sees it that way, and even the church, we feel like that sometimes. We don't understand. We don't always have a grasp of the gospel, that we were utterly dead, but God loved us anyway, and he gave us life, you know. So this gospel, I think it's not just the way we get saved. The gospel is not just about how we get saved, but it's also about how we grow in our Christian walk and how we continue to live our Christian life, live out our Christian life. There's a book by the title Fight Like a Man, right? It's by this guy, Gordon Dalby. He's kind of well known in that circle of talking about fathers and manhood and all that stuff, Gordon Dalby. And I saw the title, Fight Like a Man, and I thought, wow, that's a cool title. I'm going to get this book. And I haven't finished it, but I read parts of it. And he says, we as Christians, how do we fight like a man? How do we fight? And he says, our fight begins with surrender. And this is what it means. He's saying how we overcome the enemy is we begin with surrender. So he gives this example. You know how sometimes we are living in sin or we mess up, and the enemy will come to accuse us, right? He'll say, you're a sinner. How can you be a Christian? You know, how can you call yourself a Christian? And what we do, oftentimes we try to fight back. We try to fight back the enemy with like, no, 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 no. We try to justify ourselves, right? We say, no, but I was good here. Or I was, let's say pornography is the issue. So a man messes up and then the enemy accuses. But he'll say, no, but I've been good for a whole month. You know, I was good for a whole month, and I really didn't do that bad. I just looked at little things here and there. And we try to justify, we try to fight back. But when we're doing that, we've already lost it. Because he's the father of lies, he's the father of deception. If you're trying to argue with him, the enemy, the accuser of our brethren, he will crush us. And that's not how we overcome. And Gordon Dalby says, instead, what you do is you agree with the enemy, which sounds funny, but what you say is, yes, I sinned. I completely messed up. I totally gave in to sin and I messed up. And you surrender to that, and yet you say, but God loves me anyway. God loves me anyway, and he will forgive me if I come to him. And so you begin with surrender. And what can the enemy do? If the enemy is accusing you, you're a sinner, you messed up, and you say to the enemy, you are right, I sinned, I messed up. But you know that God loves you anyway. Then the enemy has no more like, he's like, okay, that's okay, fine. Yeah, you messed up. And you say, I messed up. But God loves me anyway, and I'm so grateful for what God has done. right? And you begin with surrender. And I think in our Christian walk, sometimes we are so, we try to justify ourselves so much, you know? We don't like to be told we're sinful. We're not quick to repent. We're not quick to admit that, yeah, I'm filled with sin. I'm filled with selfishness. I'm filled with pride. I'm filled with envy. And we try to just prove ourselves, or prove to the enemy, prove to the world, prove to ourselves, prove to God that we're actually doing okay. But we've missed it, because if we try to do that, then you're trying to justify yourself by your own works, and you haven't really fully understood the gospel, which is, I'm a sinner. You know, I am sinful. I do envy. I am filled with selfishness, and I am filled with pride. And God, that's who I am. God, I surrender to you. That I surrender to the fact that there's nothing I can do about my own sinfulness, about my own depravity and brokenness. But God, I thank you that you love me anyway, and that you can pull me out of this. And if we begin from a place of surrender, by understanding the gospel, then I think we'll experience victory instead of us trying to prove and justify ourselves. That's the first point. The second point, we'll just end on the second point. The second point is much shorter. Disobedience. Look at verse 2. Let me read from the NASB. Verse 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Look at where it says. He says, you used to walk in your trespasses and sins. You formerly walked according to the course of this world, and you formerly walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? The prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. That's Satan. You used to walk according to the ways of the prince of the power of the air. And he says of Satan, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. The NIV says this, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. What I want to point out to us is this. If we are walking in disobedience, we're walking in step with Satan. It's the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The spirit is at work in those who are disobedient. So if we choose to walk in disobedience, that means we are choosing to walk in step with Satan. And I think that's quite a serious thing, you know. I think sometimes we think so lightly of, it's hard, or I don't know, whatever, we're lazy or whatever, we just kind of not think of our little disobediences as that big of a deal. But he says, man, the evil one, Satan, is at work in those who are disobedient. And if we are walking in disobedience, you're letting him work in you, work in me. So I just want to say, you know, is there anything that God is prompting you to obey that you've just kind of ignored, or you've just kind of dismissed or neglected? And I want to say, as we walk over to our prayer time, let's just go before God and ask him, God, is there anything that I'm doing that I'm being disobedient in? And let's allow the Holy Spirit to convict us. Okay, so let's go before the Lord. Mon's going to lead us in a song. So first, let's just think about the gospel. I pray, God, for a revelation of the gospel, God. First of all, revelation of our sin, God. May we not be like those people that think all we need from you is just some help along the way to become better people. But help us to recognize, God, we need a revelation of our own sin, revelation of our own brokenness, God. And I pray that we would recognize that we are utterly hopeless without you, God. And that what you have done is not just helping us along and reminding us of the goodness that's inside of us, but no, what you have done is you have freely, you know, loved us in our sin, in our transgressions, and you gave us a way out, God. You've saved us, Lord. You've given us everything, and let our hearts be moved by that, God, and let our hearts be so utterly grateful towards you. I pray for a revelation of that, God. And this morning, if we are in sin, I pray that help us to just surrender and say, yeah, God, I am sinful. Help us to just come humbly before you, Lord, instead of trying to just prove ourselves or justify ourselves and make excuses for ourselves. But God, help us to begin with surrender and say, yeah, God, I am lazy, I am selfish, I come short, but I thank you that you love me anyway. And if there's anything that you're highlighting to us, God, in terms of obedience, I pray that we'll be able to just come out of that, God. And let us not partner with the prince of the power of the air, but God, help us to partner with you. So come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your amazing love, God. I pray for our church, Lord, that we would have a revelation of the gospel, God. And that our hearts would really be moved, God. Our hearts would always be moved to utter thankfulness and gratitude, God, at what you have done, at your grace, at the salvation that we have experienced, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us, Lord, and move in our hearts, God. Thank you. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our friends going through cancer, going through chemotherapy. Let's pray for just strength, and let's pray for healing for our community. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that need salvation as well as physical healing. Let's pray for them. Let's pray in behalf of our friends that are trying to minister to these people. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really speak to them, soften their hearts. Let's pray. Third slide, just various infirmities that our church members and their family members are going through. Let's pray for healing, and let's pray just for God's strength over them. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for our friends looking for a job. Let's pray for favor. Let's pray for guidance. Let's pray for provision. Let's lift up our friends. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's lift up our city. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for the churches here, all the different ministries that's involved here in this city. Let's pray for a revival. And let's pray for justice in this city. And let's ask God, what is it that we can do as a church? Not just to avoid injustice, but to, you know, fight against injustice that's already going on. So, you know, let's just pray. Let's pray that God will come and move in this city and bring His Spirit, His revival, His love in this city. Let's pray together. For the staff, pray for Pastor Sam. He's coming back either Friday or Saturday this week. Let's pray that he will be well rested, and let's pray that his foot, his Achilles, will be completely healed. Let's pray for just a safe return, and pray for the rest of the staff, please. Pastor Mary is also traveling at home, and Andrew is away as well with his wife. So let's pray that they will have a good time, a good rest, and pray for the rest of us to be united and to work hard and to work well together and to be anointed and to be led by the Spirit of God. So let's lift up the staff together. Pray for the worship sound and media team. Please pray for just the heart of worship, that each person will be worshipers first, not musicians, not performers. Pray for a heart of excellence, that they would give God their very best and give the church their very best. So let's pray for attention to detail, especially for our media team and our sound team, that they'll be able to do even the small things, the little things well. So let's pray for our worship sound and media team. Let's pray for our Arts Anonymous team, our creativity and an arts ministry. Let's pray for them. Let's pray especially for Spread, as the triannual newspaper that we've been making. Let's pray for just great ideas and creativity and and just being able to work well together. Let's lift up our arts ministry team. Let's pray for our mission trip that's coming up. The Myanmar trip, oh, it's coming up real soon. August 9 to August 14, led by Jamie Donaldson. Let's pray for that trip. Let's pray that it'll be a powerful trip. Let's pray for all the team members. Let's pray for anointing and protection. And let's pray that it'll be a very fruitful time. So let's lift up this trip coming up. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We are so grateful for just your love, God, and your grace. And I pray that this, the gospel, you know, would come alive in us, Lord. That help us to really see that we were dead in our transgressions, God. That there was nothing we could do, but Lord, you saved us. And you pulled us out of there. You made us alive with Christ, God. And I pray that our hearts would be very tender, God, towards your grace, Lord, that we'll be so thankful and so grateful, God, for what you have done, God. And help us to be humble, God, before you, Lord. So thank you, Holy Spirit. We just pray that you'll continue to speak to us and be with us throughout this whole day. I pray for your blessing over each person, God. Thank you that you are walking with us, God, throughout this day. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow.